KSR.
Hey Jay, it's Pete with Bank of Cardiff.
How's it going, buddy?
Good, good. You know, it's been a couple months here. I figured I'd check back in. It's at least been about a month and a half. How's business been going for you so far?
Well, you want to really know the truth, or do you have the time?
Yeah, I got really, the time. I'm not doing anything.
We're not taking that cheap freight. That's all I can tell you. The fuel goes up, the freight goes down. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Yeah, we're back at 50 a barrel now, right? So, like, what's
yeah,
going on with
bucks
that?
A barrel, it's gone up, and, you know, they want to give you less money. I'm like, I can't figure it out for my life, for the life of me, you know. So that's about it. We're not working that much. We're not doing that much because everything just, like, it dropped. It seemed the fuel price went up, and nobody wants to pay nothing.
Yeah, that didn't really correspond. When they dropped off, it really affected the markets and that. But now that it's kind of coming back up to where it was, I'm not seeing as that kind of that gap being filled back in. You know what I mean?
Right. And the stock market isn't climbing through the roof. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's doing okay, but it's not doing what it really did in the height. You know, so I don't know what to say. I bid on some equipment up in Canada, and I bid, and they told me I was too low. And I said, well, that's the way of the world. And they put it on the online auction, and they had a minimum bid, like $10,000 more than what I, you know, offered them. And nobody even bid on the stuff, and it's fairly brand new equipment, 2-year-old equipment. Nobody bid on anything. So that tells me money's tightening up.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, across. I also think no one's looking, you know, now that we're actually like a few weeks away from the whole election, I think nobody's making any kind of moves until they see what the results are going to be here.
To be honest with you, for me, that's not even an issue with me. I don't care who the president is. I'm too small to worry about who the president is, to be perfectly honest with you.
You're right.
You know, if I'm going to go borrow some money or, do something down the road, I've been in business a long time. It just doesn't mean a thing at this point, you know. So, because I'm still going to be in the little trucking business and,
exactly.
Still be taking, you know, it doesn't make a difference to me.
Unless you have some skin in the game, I don't think it really matters, especially, you know, in your industry. I can see maybe in from a manufacturer standpoint where they would stand on this and wanted to get some jobs back, but...
Well, it's funny, I went through some stuff. I was cleaning out desk at the old gold books. We used to go to these things called gold books when we worked, before they had computers. And they, you know, the gold book, there was a platinum and a gold book. And the gold book was the manufacturers who you worked for, and the platinum book was the brokers. And the gold book would tell you if you paid your bills or not. It was kind of like a cheat sheet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the platinum books listed all the brokers in the country who paid their bills, were honorable, you know. And then it listed the bad ones, too. And in 1979. Were you even alive then?
I was not.
Yeah. In 79, there was about 6,200 truck brokers in the United States. You know, 3PLs, middlemen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you say broker, that just means they're getting a job from, let's say, a FedEx and brokering
it up. Yeah, they're soliciting the work, and then the truckers call them. You know, I get calls from brokers all the time, right? There's 6,200 in the United States listed, and that was it. And that was it in the whole United States. 6,200 truck brokers. How many do you think there are today?
Wild guess. 60,000.
I wish it was 60,000, like 128,000 truck brokers.
Holy crap. Is your phone ringing
so
off
what
the
is
phone,
that
you know?
Yes, and what does that tell you? These people are out soliciting our work I solicit for, and they want a piece of my action. That's
they're going to middle you, stack at 2 points, 3 points on there, and get theirs
all day long.
Having an overhead, really.
You're kidding me? They're taking 20-30%. And so that's
even with that saturated of a market, man. Like, you got 120,000 of them. They're still taking that big of a chunk.
They're brutal. They're brutal. Yeah. Brutal. This company, you should look them up. They're called TQL, Total Quality Logistics. They're out of Ohio. They've got in one room, they call it like a hack room, 500 people calling manufacturers all day long. They get college kids. They give them $500 a week, and they're on the phone all day long calling me. Hey, we have dry vans. Hey, we have flatbeds. Hey, we have anything you want. We can service you anyway. And if they get a hit, then they put it out to the sales, and the sales goes down. They send a girl with a mini skirt, and she goes.
And they go to you guys. Yeah.
Correct. Correct. That's how it works.
So it works pretty much a call center, and then a good-looking salesman to present you with the hey, we're going to charge you 30%. Here's a job.
Right. Right. So now I go down to General Dynamics, one of my customers, and I go sit at the guy's desk. He looks at me. I'm almost 6 feet. I'm 5'11 and a half, 238 pounds. And he looks at me and goes, you ain't wearing no miniskirt. I can't talk to you. And, that's exactly what he says to me, too. I've known him for a long time. But he goes, I must have had 12 skirts in here today. Soliciting truck work. And
that's what I don't understand.
They'll come in person with hats and shirts and we're
pretty faced to deliver the bad news.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I have a rapport with them, and I've worked for them a long time. And so, so now I go in there and they say, "Can you go to Polk City, Louisiana, with a $2.5 million satellite truck?" Yeah, okay. And Polk City's down in down in the bayou. It's not on the bayou. It's actually north. It's up by Mississippi, but. I don't know, it's like 1,550 miles, and, I figure it, what the mileage, I figure out the time, I figure out the weight, and I tell them, I'll do that, like $5,700, I'll get it down there for you, on a low boy, on an RGN, I'll be down there, you pick it up on a Friday, you deliver it Monday morning, something like that, and they go in and do that same job for $3,200.
Now, who's doing that job,
the brokers, the truck brokers. They go in and tell them the rate. They tell them, "Oh, we'll get you that truck in here for $3,200. You give us $3,200, we'll get you a truck in here."
And they turn around and they tell you $5,800,
$5,700. No. They put it out to bid. They ask me, "Want you bid on it?" And I tell them $5,800 to run a $2 million piece down there, and I compete with the broker. The brokers can do the same job.
Oh, I see.
And they cut my rate. They cut my rate like $2,500.
Because they don't care. Because all they want to get is a little piece off the top, and then anything else.
That's
right. It doesn't matter.
That's right. You're a smart, educated guy. You're a smart guy. And so now, that's what I'm dealing with. And I'm not crying to you because I know what I have to do to get that work, but. Now, I'm sure you've heard of him, a gentleman by the name of Warren Buffett.
Yeah, of course.
Berkshire Hathaway.
The Oracle, man.
Oklahoma. He's Oracle. Yeah, well, he's actually from Nebraska. He lives in the same house he lived in Nebraska when he got married in the 50s. But, he's now in the truck brokerage business. They've got a floor in Manhattan. And they've got like 200 people on a floor soliciting truck freight now.
Shit, man. Maybe I'm in the wrong industry.
No. We're fucking bankers. Bankers are the smartest of all. But if you can do that. But now, listen to me. They called me the other day. This company called me. And I look at them. I'm seeing them. They're a Berkshire Hathaway company. And I asked the guy. He says, "Does Warren Buffett own your company?" He goes, "He sure does." I said, "Isn't that funny?" And they had a piece coming out of one of the defense contractors that I work for, and I knew where it was going down in Huntsville, Alabama. And so the kid called me and goes, "Can you do that for us?" I goes, "Yeah, I can do it for you." He goes, "How much do you charge us to go to Huntsville out of Waltham, Mass?" I said, $4,800. I'll get it right down there. I said, what is the PC? And the guy was reluctant to tell me what it was. I knew what it was because I knew where it was coming out of. And I said, well, what's the value on the PC? He goes, well, it's worth a lot of money. I said, well, you got to declare that. You have to tell me what it's worth.
Yeah. Or some kind of... like $30 million piece of defense equipment.
Correct, correct. We can't cover that in insurance, but we can cover up to, like, $5 million.
Oh, okay. I got
it. No, a million. Well, sometimes we only cover up to $300,000. So, I, you know, on something like that, I'd have to get a rider. You know, rider's about... I don't know, it's not as much as you think. It's probably a couple $100, $250 to add that, not all of that insurance, but like $1 million.
So yeah, it's millions an extended on the coverage, company. Yeah.
Right, right. So the guy went all silent on the phone, and I said, hey, Brad. I said, what's the matter, buddy? He goes, we don't even have that kind of money into that. I go, what's the piece worth? He goes, well, it's worth a lot of money. I says, well, you need to clear that first. That's just what I did. What is a lot? And he goes, well, you know, and I says, and it's a classified piece of equipment. I know exactly where it's coming out of in welfare. So how do you know? I says, they called me. It's my customer. And you're in there cutting my rate by 50%. He goes, well, how do you know that? I says, you're a truck broker. I says, what's the matter with you people? Well, sure enough, I called the kid out to Waltham to get the job. He goes, I had a truck broker come in. You were 48. The guy was 3,500. So I was $1,300 high. And they got a trucker. They get somebody that's up here from Texas delivered. They look on the internet. They find it. Bam, they're over. And we're not talking about like a couple days it takes to get the truck. We're talking an hour to find a truck. That's how the system is now. So that's what I'm dealing with.
So, yeah, man. It seems like it's changed a lot since, you know, 79. When did you actually get in the industry?
I've actually been in on my own since 86. But I worked for a guy in 77. I started in 77 in the industry as a kid. And, you know, driving. And then I kind of went, I leased on to somebody in like 79. And, you know, I drove in 79. 86, I went on my own, got my own company, and legitimately, and I got my own operating authority, my own insurance, and my own comp, and all that stuff. So I've been around it a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, so I look at it this way, buddy. I know there's money out there. The rates are low, and people have money to loan, but I don't know. I don't see a lot of good coming out of this.
Yeah, you don't. If there's not a lot of opportunity, you know, I could give it to you at zero interest, and it's still, you know, and you're not going to do shit if there's no work there, man.
It wouldn't even, if you think about it, if you gave it to me for zero interest, it would hurt me.
You'd still
lose
money.
Because I can't even write anything off. No, I can't write anything off. I can write the interest off.
You're
going to charge.
There you go.
And the charges, I can't even write that stuff off. So, yeah. I mean.
Pretty much the same as buying it cash.
Yeah, it is. And you don't get anything for that. You get actually penalized for using. You're better off hiding your cash. What little cash you have nowadays, you're better off hiding your cash. So you're just going out and hawking whatever you're going
to
do.
Oh, I talk. I specifically trucking companies. I've talked to a couple that are like, I literally take my cash and I put it in a safe. That's why, because, you know, I'm asking for business bank statements. They're like, yeah, buddy, I make a lot more money than that shows, but I just don't put it on there. And I'm like, it hurts you when you're looking for a loan, but I guess in the long run, you know, taking your money out of the business and hiding it is the way to go, because they're gonna get it from you somewhere. Gonna get it from you. How did that IRS situation happen with you know, how did that unfold with your employee?
It's funny you just called, and he's coming in the yard right now. In about 10 minutes, I'm sitting here in my diesel pickup truck waiting for him. It's funny you asked. I sat him down in our little, like, lunch room. It's next to the office. You know, he's a kid that just barely has a high school diploma. I know what happened to him, but I'm not going to sympathize because, you know, he came from a family of truck drivers, and he thought he was going to take over somebody else's business and his dad's business and run it, and you just forgot to do one thing. You got to file every year. Whether you make money or lose money, you got to file. You got to show the IRS something. He never did it. And that's the
man,
bottom.
That is just, that's just, it's crazy how almost insignificant it is when you think about it. But it's like, dude, you cannot run a business and not file taxes. It's just.
Right. It's, well, that's what I explained to him. I says, you can go 3 years with the IRS. Now they penalize you if you don't file every year. They penalize you $1,000, you know. So, but you can go. I've done it. I've gone 3 years without filing.
Yeah, that's not a million. They slapped him with, you know, that's something that changes your life, you know. It's sort of
$1,172,000 to be exact. So I said, well, the lawyer told me. I called this lawyer, this Jewish guy. He's a good guy. He knows he's a tax lawyer. He charged me $930 an hour to go straighten out my payroll stuff for a few years. Well, he only charged me like an hour and a half, you know, like it was like $1,600 or something. But it took him 4 days. But I called him, you know, I his name's Eric Rothstein, if that tells you anything.
Big Jewish name, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a good guy, great guy. And I told him this, and he goes, I don't even want him near my office, even if you're paying me cash, because he likes cash, too. And I says, listen, Eric, can you help the guy out? He goes, I'll send you to somebody that's not as expensive as me that can help his situation. I says, and he goes, he's down in the city of Brockton, which is south of us. It's kind of a dumpy city, you know, but guy's a good guy. I said, go down and see this guy. I'll give you some money. I'll help you out. You know, go see this guy. Get all the bags of records, whatever you have for the last 10, 12 years. Okay. And I said, go over to the IRS Friday morning and see this lady. And she won't lien your pay. They won't lien his pay. If he makes $1,000, they want him to have $100 and they get $900, you know.
That's
so, and I'm not doing that. Yeah, well, I can go to jail for not doing it, but I ain't doing that. So a couple of weeks, it was the 22nd. You're supposed to go the 22nd of September. All right? So he never shows up for the appointment. Never goes down to the guy, the accountant that I sent him down to. That I sent him, I sent like $300 down to the accountant.
He just buy a plane ticket and just leave?
No, he's working every day. He comes to work, and so I don't know that he doesn't go. So I get this call from the lady yesterday. He's out in Buffalo. Yeah, I get the call. This is R.C. Rantui from the IRS. I want to talk to your employee. I want to know where he lives. Who's this? I tell you, like, I never talked to her before, right? She goes, you know who I am, Buster. Just like that.
Oh, my God. Says,
I want to know where this guy lives. We've been going to Mummy's house, and he's not there. I said, well, he's 45 years old. He's 44 years old. I don't think he lives with Mummy anymore.
Yeah.
She says, we're going to arrest him, which they can do now. He's an evader. He's a tax evader. So I said, really? I says, you're going to arrest him? She says, yeah. I says, well, he's out in the road, so don't arrest him yet. Why don't we get him back, and we'll do a sting, and I'll arrest him with you. That's not funny, she said, you know. You're making a joke out of this. And I said, listen, I'm talking to an IRS investigator.
You're making jokes.
Money, you know?
Yeah.
I'm making no jokes. I says, but to be honest with you.
What the hell do they want you to do, you know?
Right. I said, he's in more trouble. She says, and how's that? I said, because he lied to me. He told me he went down to you. Now he's going to get fired when he comes in the ass. Oh, you can't fire him for that. I'm like, what is it, lady?
And then, if you fire him, isn't that good on your end? Because now you don't have to, like, garnish his wages or any of that crap, you know?
I don't have to garnish his wages, but I have to pay his unemployment.
Okay. Trade-off, I don't know.
Right. So, I'm going to have a little powwow with him.
Yeah.
We're going to the IRS tomorrow morning, me and him. He's going to lose a day's work, and I'm going to lose about 3 hours out of the office. And I'm going to hand him over.
It's
all
like,
you got to do is go in there. It's not, like, you know what the lawyer said, the Jewish lawyer said? It's not collectible. He doesn't make enough money. He's working for you for $26 an hour. He doesn't make enough money. It's just not it's not there.
Feasible. It's not feasible, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Like, you're asking a guy, like, it's, you know, if I go ask a homeless person for, hey, give me $2 million, it's like, you owe me $2 million from 30 years ago. It's just like, you know, I could say whatever I want, I could do whatever, but I'm not going to see that money. Like, it's not going
to
happen.
Well, the clincher to this story is this kid's got five kids. And he's got two black kids living in his house. His wife had with another guy.
Wow.
How are you going to pay that? He can't.
No, you can't. No, he'd have to make more money than you, me, and five other people combined to pay that back. In that situation, man, there's just seven kids, five kids, 26 an hour with them. No.
Right. And 26 an hour in today's world is okay. It's not great.
It's not as much, you know, as you'd think. You're 100%
right. 100%. Right. That's what I pay. I mean,
shit, if you look at it from this way, McDonald's is about to be 15 an hour, so if that puts it into perspective.
Right. Correct. So, I mean, I don't know what you make. I don't know what a banker makes. I don't know what the girl at the tellers don't make any money. But, you know, I have no clue. But the fact is now I'm scratching my head and I'm saying to myself, how did this guy get into this position? I'm a grown man. I've always filed my taxes. I'm a little late here and there, but I've always filed, you know. My bank notes, I've always paid my notes. I paid my house mortgage, you know. You know the deal.
Yeah, you think, like, he would hear the word, like, oh, yeah, you know, people are talking about their tax return. People are talking about, you know, what they get back, you know, filing taxes, right. Complaining about taxes. What, does he just work for right. 20 years and just kind of ignored that whole word?
No, like, what happened was this is the clinch at the sad side of the story. His dad, I hired this guy in February. I've got a couple other guys. He's a good driver. He's an excellent driver. He knows he's a good maneuverer. He doesn't hit cars. He knows his business. He's strong. He goes a little too many hours over in his book sometimes. He works too long. You got to tell him to slow down, you know. But that's just learning. But his dad had a trucking company. His dad gave him $500 a week while he had all those kids. And his dad had a three-floor apartment building, what we call back here in the Northeast triple deckers, like in San Francisco, like three floors, okay, instead of a two-floor or three-floor.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad lived on the first floor. He gave him the middle floor rent-free, you know, the middle apartment rent-free. Him and his wife lived in there for nothing. And I don't know, something happened. His uncle lived up in the top floor. He owned the house with the dad. His dad let him live there and gave him $500 a week to drive a truck. So he got $500 a week, and they got free rent. So that's how they lived. Who can live with kids on $500 a week? Nobody. Nobody can live with $500 a week.
I would have trouble paying my bills, you know, just me on that, you know. It's
Right. So, well, he didn't have to pay no rent or no mortgage. So then his dad gets this big idea. I'm dying. And he says, I'll give it to my kid, the company, to my kid. Now, I knew his dad. He was a very nice guy. But I knew he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the company in his Social Security number.
Oh,
I swear to God. They didn't incorporate. They didn't LLC. They didn't do.
They just put it under a sole prop. They just sole propped the trucking business, which that's got to be the most insane thing in the world because, you know, so much liability. You know,
no,
you guys have insurance, but so much liability, man.
Right, right. And on top of it, yeah, they sole propped it, and he never filed taxes.
So in the government's eyes, this guy's just like a walking liability who doesn't pay taxes.
Right. I know a lot of one-truck guys that own one trucks that they have the Social Security number on their deal. But
yeah,
they pay their taxes. They file. They file.
And it's one truck, too. That's like...
Right. Right. That's not a big deal. So
it's like being a taxi driver, almost, you know? Like,
correct.
You know, you got your one piece. It's your business. You know, you make your money and you take your cut. You pay for your truck payments.
Right. Correct. Yeah, I did that for a long time myself, but I never used my own. So I always, I, always use the tax, federal tax ID number.
Like an LLC or something.
Well, I LLC'd back in 08, and I was running for years that way, but then
you just used an EIN before, right? Employer Identification
right.
Number.
I got yes. So this dope. I said, so did you ever go file? He goes, no. He goes, I didn't think they'd catch me. I says, well, it showed. I see. I got the printout here. They sent me your business, your printout. 1 year, you made like $178,000. What'd you do with the money?
Spent.
He goes, well, I bought fuel, and I spent it. I goes, well, what'd you spend it on? He goes, well, I bought my wife a car. I says, what car? He goes, a Honda Pilot. I goes, that old rat that you drive? He goes, well, it's not that bad of a car. I says, it's like a 2002. I says, we're in 2016, dude. It's 14 years old.
What'd you spend the money on? What'd you really spend the money on?
Right. So I said, dude, that was a lot of fucking money. Well, I had to pay for the trucks. My dad had notes. I said, do you have the receipts for that? They were in a bag down in the cellar in my mother's house. I said, you better go find them.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know, with these new electronic bank accounts, you know as well as I do. I use everything I do, I have a bank account. And if I go down to the local Maria's, to the Italian restaurant, I pay for my meal on my debit card. It shows up, and the bank is going to keep those files forever for me.
Forever. Mm-hmm.
You know? Everything I do. We all went over and got new work boots. I bought them for him. I bought everybody work boots. It cost me like $460 for boots.
And when they ask where that money went, you could show them, I swiped my card at 3:11 p.m. on Tuesday in 2016.
Correct. And we bought boots for the guys for safety reasons, you know, and this dope, you know, so now I'm looking at it and I'm like, I said to one of my other guy that I said, what am I going to do with it? You know, let him go. I said, I know. So today's a bad day.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get back with that one today. Yeah.
But listen, I'm going to keep me in mind because I.
Yeah, I'll just wait another month or two and give you a ring, you know. Just kind of touch base.
Where are you out in California? Where are you?
I'm in San Diego right now. Originally, though.
Where are you from?
Originally, New York area. I grew up in New Jersey, lived in Manhattan for a little bit. Up in Inwood Park.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, I know where it is. I know where you are in San Diego. You're in God's country. Well, it's expensive to live in San Diego.
It is, but you know what? It is worth it. I'll tell you that. Right now, it's probably about 80 degrees, end of October. Not a cloud in the sky.
Well, guess where I was this weekend?
Where at?
I was in Nashville.
Oh, I lived
in Nashville. With 10 of my buddies, and we were in the honky-tonk. We took the honky-tonk over. we bought all the real estate on the first floor of the honky. You know where the honky-tonk is on Broadway in Nashville?
No.
It's where all the honky-tonks, all the bar rooms are, and they play that country music, that shit-kicking music. Well, I got to tell you what, buddy. I tell you, Nashville's a happening place.
Really?
It's a happening. Oh, dude. I could send you an email, some pictures. you know, dude. From what I went down. You know, I'm a retired fireman. You know that, right?
No, I did not.
I was a full time fireman for 33 and a half years. I just retired. I just took my pension. In the city of Boston.
Nice.
Yeah. But I truck, too. You know, I worked two jobs. I had some ethics, you know. So the chief, one of the chiefs said, hey, I'm speaking at the Fire Expo in Nashville. You want to come with us? I said, what's it going to cost me? He goes, you got to buy your own plane ticket. He goes, you can go on Southwest for like $214. I says, I don't fly cattle cars, buddy. He goes, come on down with us. So I said, all right. So I left Thursday. Thursday morning, I got on a plane. I beat feet down there, and I went to the Fire Expo. They got me in. They got me a badge. You know, they paid for it, and they paid for my room and I just retired in July, and they took me out.
For you,
to,
man.
Like, what's the name of that great steakhouse?
Ruth's Chris.
No, I've been to Ruth's Chris or Morton's. Now, this was the guy. I was at the MGM. They had a same place. Tom Chick-a-Lots or something like that. Excellent steakhouse. Unbelievable steakhouse. They took me out for dinner that night. You know, we had a little celebration. It was nice.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
And then we went down to Broadway, and there's got to be, like, no exaggeration, probably 150 bars on each side. There's 300
Holy
bars.
Crap.
And we come out of the steakhouse, and it was, like, late. It was, like, 10 o'clock at night, and we're getting ready to go down Thursday night. Kind of tired, you know. We got to the Fire Expo, and they said, come on, dude, you got to go down. And I said, all right, I'll go down. You know, I listen to country music, too. So we go in the first place. And these performers, they all work for tips, you know. They don't get paid from the barrooms. But they do well. I guess they do okay. You know, if the music's real good. They
yeah,
do
I got
well.
A buddy in the industry.
Right, so you know.
Doing
so,
that, yeah.
Right, so we go in a couple places. It was pretty decent, you know. It's 11 o'clock at night. We get in this place called The Stage. We get up on the second, like, tier. And I said to my buddies, hey, fucking place catches fire. We're never getting out of here. There's a back door back there. Because we watch for that fireman. That's a big deal with us, you know.
No, 100%, so you know.
Yeah, that place was packed. All blondes on the first floor lifting their skirts. And, man, it was the coolest thing, right? So my buddy leans over the railing. He leans over the railing. And he spills his Bud Light on a girl.
Oh,
down on the floor. Oh, yeah. So they thought it was me. He was so shy. I'm talking a 46-year-old guy. He wouldn't go down and apologize. So they asked me to go down there. So I go down the back way, and I go and I introduce, and I'm so sorry. And I buy these girls a round of drinks just to shut them up, you know. I buy them around. It cost me for, like, there was eight of them. It cost me, like, $60 with the tip. I bought myself a beer. And now I got girls at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, 26 years old. I'm 55 years old. Kissing me, hugging, dancing with me. And these dopes, I swear to God, these dopes are up on the top balcony watching this whole thing. And I'm looking at them like, you guys are losers.
You guys are dumb.
Yeah. So the part of the story, the best part of the story was, is so the one girl I catch, because you married, I goes, of course. She says, oh, well, at least you're honest. They always tell us they're not. I said, oh, I've been married 32 years. So her name's Morgan. She went to University of Oregon. She lives in Austin. She likes women, but she likes guys too. 26 years old, good looking.
Wow, man. Good weekend.
Oh, yeah. Dude. I can't even tell you what happened after that. She goes, we're going to a party in East Nashville. You want to come with us? It's like fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. I goes, yeah.
You're in it. You're in it. Drink the Kool-Aid.
55, but buddy, I go to bed at 8:30 at night. It's 2:30 in the morning, and I get in this fucking little car, and I go with these girls. So I go to this party. Everybody's like 30, 25, you know. I'm a little out of place. I said, I'm a little uncomfortable with this. She goes, oh, don't be. We love you, and you guys from Boston are the best. A couple of my buddies came with me. They couldn't resist, right? So we go to this party. We're partying. The place is hopping. 4 o'clock in the morning, still hopping. They live over a barroom, right? So I said, hey, listen, I got to get back to my room. You know, I got to go to bed. And this girl said, no, you ain't going home. She took me home for her. I didn't come back to the hotel until 11 o'clock the next morning. 55 fucking years old. I said, what did I do to deserve that? You know? So.
Hey, 30 years of being a firefighter. There you go. That was your present.
I was nice. You know, it was good. And so that was it. So I go back to the room. I crash 11 o'clock at night. Friday morning. I never went to the expo. I was supposed to go to a thing, you know. I never went, and so it's all good. And I said, what did I do? You know, I'm guilty. You know, the guys are fucking with me. They're texting me and everything, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
So we go out that night. We get the honky tonk. We go there. It was cool. I never seen this girl. I never saw her again. I was like, well, that was a one-night deal. I got her number and shit, but I was waiting for her to, like, text me back or email me or something, right? I guess she looks me up on fucking Facebook. She gets my Facebook page. So now she knows. But I didn't lie to her, dude. I didn't lie.
Yeah, no, you told her. Yeah.
I told the truth, right? So, you know, I don't know what the deal is. She's with her friend. The girl's in the music industry. I don't know, you know? So we partied that night. I get back to the room early Friday night, like midnight. I laid down. I slept like 7 hours straight. So Saturday, we went to the big thing. We went back to the Fire Expo. They did the raffle, the motorcycle raffle, all that shit. It's a nice day, so they say, hey, we're going back to that honky tonk. So I'm going there, buddy. We took the place over about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we got the first floor. You gotta pay. You gotta buy beer, and you gotta stay. The music was great. We're there at 8 o'clock at night. The Cubs beat the Dodgers or whatever it is, and we had the music was, dude, I tell you, even if you don't like country western, it's a good time, and they play a lot of rock and roll. They play a shitload of rock and roll. So, this girl was sitting in front of us with a Chicago Cubs thing, a heavyset woman, older, like in her late 40s, early 50s, chubby, kind of chubby, not a nice lady, real, and her boyfriend. And I said, what are you guys doing down here? They said, oh, they paid her to come down here. He goes, what? I said, yeah, there's some record company, not record company, like a music
production. Yeah, like company. Yeah, exactly, an event thing.
They paid her $1,000 to come down here, and we're staying at the Omni. The Omni is a nice hotel. You got to hear this story. This is really true. I said, wow, very nice people. They knew we were a little out of control. We met some girls from Minnesota. They were, like, dancing with us and hanging out. They were school principals, middle age. Nice. Their husbands were home hunting in the woods and whip pinching their asses. And it was fun. You know, nobody went home with nobody, but it was cool. And so there was people on the other side of the room. There's, like, these tables, like 50 people. They're all Japanese. They flew into LAX because we got to talk to them afterwards. We found out. And so, you know, they really like their country music. They wear the boots, the hats. The Japanese are really into country. I didn't know that either. Oh, dude. They're like, I've never seen anything like it in my life. So they knew those people were going to be there. The honky-tonk, the owners knew the Japanese were coming, like on a tour bus for the weekend. And they had this woman come in special for them. But they didn't know she was there. And so, you know, we're partying and the won the World Series. And, you know, we're all rah. And right after that, the band that was up there was a pretty good band. It's a pretty named band in the Nashville area. They said, we never let anybody up on the stage. But tonight, we have, from the owners, we have a request. We're going to have this girl, Gwen so-and-so, from Chicago Heights, Illinois. She's going to sing a song to this audience, and I hope you can appreciate it. And now all these Japanese people are over there, like, they're looking at each other, like, you know. I mean, there was a lot of people there, and they were partying. There were people from Australia there, too, but they were really hitting it hard. They were drinking Patron. They were drinking a lot of booze.
Drinking heavily.
They fuckers can drink. They can drink more than Americans. I didn't realize. So the girl gets up there, and the boyfriend says to me, whispers in my ear with the music, you're gonna see a real treat here. He goes, wait and you see what happens here. Okay, you know, fucking big fat bud, you know. And she looked good. She was all made up. They took her in the back, and they puffed her face up with a little bit of makeup and shit, you know. You know, they have a thing there that they can do that for the people who sing, you know. And she get up and she sang. You ever hear the song? I think it was in Platoon, a Full Metal Jacket. The guy, Musi Baku, the prostitute, when the song came on, those boots are made for walking, I'm going to walk off.
Yeah, exactly.
She sang the song in Japanese. This chick sang the song in Japanese. These fucking people, these Japs, were dancing on the tables. They were dancing on the bar. Dude,
they probably lost their shit.
They lost their shit. It was like the aliens. It was the funniest thing I ever seen, but it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. So I tell you, I know you live out in the West. If you ever get a bunch of guys, go to Nashville. Especially in the September, October, the football season. It's a happening place. The fucking women, what they had a girl that looked just like Christy Brinkley when she was like 30. I mean, dude, dancing right in front of us. I mean, she was smart, beautiful. I mean, you see a lot of beautiful girls out in San Diego.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
you do, but but you ain't seen nothing till you go to Nashville. You ain't seen. You
really?
See the girls. Yeah, you see the girls from the Bayou there. You see them from the Carolinas. You see the girl from New York. You see them from all over the place. It's unbelievable. I mean, they had to be, and I'm not exaggerating this, 50, 60 girls to every one guy. And we knew that. We were told that, because that is the bridal, you know, when you do the bachelorette, what is a bachelorette party?
Yeah.
The bridal shower, capital of the world. They go there, and you just have to see it. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you couldn't walk on the sidewalk. There were so many fucking people. All women. Women everywhere. And I said to those guys, if none of you guys don't get laid in this place, there's something wrong with this. I said, there's got to be something wrong. I said, I already got my fucking tattoo. I said, I don't know about you guys. And so the best part of the story was after it all calmed down, those girls that we met the first night that the beer got spilled on, three of them showed up at the back side of our table and gave me a big hug. And I asked the girl, Catherine, I goes, where's Morgan? She goes, I don't know. She stayed back at the apartment. I really don't know what's going on. You know, she was asking for you, but she was kind of shy, you know. So I was kind of heartbroken. You know, I was like a little kid, got my licorice taken away from me, you know? And like the band stopped singing, and there she was on the other side. She came to see me, and she was decked out in a cowboy skirt, boots, the hat on. Dude, I'm not exaggerating. I spent the whole night with her that night. She came right over to me, put a big kiss on. My guys were like looking at me like, what are you, fucking hung like a bull or something? I said, no. I said, I'm not even that good looking. I'm fucking 40 pounds overweight. They said, what did I do? I honestly at first thought she was going to ask me for money when I first met her, but she didn't want no money. She just wanted a good time.
Sometimes.
I like older guys. You're more mature, and, you know, I had a little bit of fun. So, listen, call me. When I'm ready to
I
got your number in my phone.
Of course. It was good talking to you, man. It was a nice way to take a break. Good luck, man. Take care, Jay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.